Yet he was not content and wanted more and more. One day an old woman brought him, in a basket covered with a cloth, an unusual gift. "What precious thing do you have in your basket?" asked the king impatiently. "A snake, your majesty. If you eat it, you will understand the language of all creatures, on the land, in the water, and in the air." The king was filled with joy that he would be able to do what nobody else in the whole world could. He rewarded the old woman generously and quickly called George, his servant. "Prepare this fish for my lunch, but you cannot taste even a tiny piece, otherwise you will lose your head." In the kitchen, George thought to himself, "What a strange fish! I've never seen such a fish. It looks like a snake. Surely I would be a bad cook if I didn't taste what I am serving at the king's table." So he put a bit into his mouth and was startled as he heard a strange buzzing. "Something for us, something for us." George looked around to see who was there, but he saw only flies flying above the fish. In a while, he heard a strange hissing voice from outside. "Where to? Where to?" And other little voices answered, "To the miller's barley, to the miller's barley." And there was nobody below, just a gander and a flock of geese. "Ah, so it's that kind of fish," thought George in a flash, and he quickly ate another piece. After lunch, the king ordered George to saddle the horses and accompany him for a ride. "Yo-ho, brother, I feel so light. I feel like jumping over mountains," George's horse neighed cheerfully. "I would jump too, if only the old man was not sitting on me. I jump and he falls off like a sack," snorted the other horse. "Let him fall off. So what? Instead of the old guy, you'll carry the young one." The king noticed that on hearing the horses, George smiled, and he started to suspect that George had disobeyed his order not to taste the fish. "Pour me wine," the king ordered George after their return to the castle. "But not too much or too little, or you will lose your head." At that moment, two little birds flew in through the window. They were chasing and fighting over three golden hares, which one of them was holding in his beak. "Give them to me. They're mine. I pick them up." "But it was me who noticed when they fell out as Goldilocks was combing her hair." While bickering, the birds dropped one golden hare and it fell on the floor with a tinkle. George looked round and spilled the wine. "You disobeyed my order, George. The executioner should take you away, but I will show you mercy if you find Princess Goldilocks and bring her here to become my wife." What was George supposed to do? He saddled a horse and went to look for Goldilocks. He asked about her everywhere, but nobody had heard of her. After travelling for a long time, a weary George wanted to have a rest by a fire, which some shepherds had left on the edge of a dark forest. Suddenly, he heard a lot of desperate voices. "George, help us, or we will all get burnt to death here." Only then did George notice that the flames were spreading towards a dried-out bush, under which there was a big anthill. He quickly put out the flames which were threatening the ants. The grateful ants promised that they would help him whenever he needed it. While wandering through the dark forest, George again heard some crying. "George, we are begging you to feed us. We are too weak and we can't fly yet." From a nest on a tall fir tree, some young ravens who had lost their parents were crying out to him. George didn't hesitate for a moment and fed the abandoned little birds. The chicks, now safe, also promised to help him if he ever needed it. The journey brought George to the sea. On the shore, two